Hello and welcome to Essential Dissent, coming to you from the last days of the U.S. Empire. I'm Wilton Vaught, producer of the series. This episode is Syria, another U.S. regime change operation, a webinar organized by UNAC, the United National Anti-War Coalition. The webinar took place on December 28, 2024. Our first speaker is Sarah Flounders, coordinator of the Sanctions Kill campaign and a contributing editor to the Workers' World newspaper. Please note that the views expressed on Essential Dissent are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect my own views or those of this radio station.
I'm proud to be a contributing editor to Workers' World newspaper, workers.org, that has opposed Zionist apartheid state from our founding in 1959 and have always defended Palestine and the right to resist for more than 50 years, defended Syria, opposed the Zionist occupation of Syria in Golan, and defended the Iranian Revolution. I'm also proud of the work of the Sanctions Kill campaign, which is a coalition of many solidarity groups that exposes the U.S. crime against humanity of sanctions. And we do that in webinars and reports and a book and so on. It really is a collective effort. Now, in my piece, I want to say that exposing the U.S. role in the destruction of Syria and the Israeli occupation of Syria is a responsibility of the whole anti-war, anti-imperialist movement in the U.S. Each new U.S. intervention uses every form of corporate media to confuse their crime. They throw up reams of flack and false information. They look everywhere else, blame the victim, publicize the role of other smaller countries that they've lured into this regime change project, repeat the propaganda and claims that everyone is rejoicing at the fall of the government. That's standard in every regime change operation. And lots of talk that this is a new era and a declaration that U.S. power is assured. We've seen this time and again, and it needs an immediate response. First and foremost, we urge people to ask, when has any voice, any force tied to U.S. imperialism been a force for liberation or freedom anywhere in the world? This is the center of the largest empire in history, and our role is to challenge the empire, expose its crimes, and educate. Every U.S. imperialist victory is paid for by working people here. Let's expose the criminal role of U.S. sanctions. There are more than 40 sanctioned countries, a third of the world population targeted by U.S. economic sanctions. And I'm really been shocked and surprised by the number even of left commentators who barely mention the role of sanctions, the strangling of Syria. Sanctions are a sinister, calculated effort to starve down entire populations. No transaction for food, for medicine, for infrastructure, for payment to essential employees is allowed. Every financial transaction is banned. So sanctions are really an all-out effort to destabilize and recolonize the developing world. I saw Syria when it was a prosperous, modern country with zero foreign debt, with free healthcare, free education, including universities. There was subsidized food, modern infrastructure, paid for with the nationalized oil resources. Syria was a breadbasket and a strong defender of Palestine for 50 years, and a proud mosaic of the many minority nationalities, religions, and people. Then came the sanctions. Syria was under U.S. sanctions for more than 20 years, since the 2003 Iraq War. And we've all seen the same tactics in Cuba, in Nicaragua, in Venezuela. We've seen U.S.-funded mercenaries that can rip a country apart. The U.S. bombed Syria for 10 years and then used the Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Al-Ansara, and other competing gangs operating without plan or coherent ideology as they surged into Syria. All were funded by the U.S., also by Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Qatar. They were funded to tear Syria apart. There was wild propaganda, a Western media onslaught, claiming they were fighting ISIS forces. And that's when the U.S. started actually bombing Syria in 2014. There were coordinated actions around the world at that time, but 10 years of destroying all possible infrastructure. U.S. officials brag that 90% of Syrians are reduced to living in absolute poverty. A third of the population, now it reaches actually a half of the population, were internally displaced or exiled abroad. Now, I saw Syria during the U.S. bombing, when every possible building and neighborhood sandbagged, every school and community center and government building was housing displaced people in the thousands, in classrooms, in gyms, in basements. Sanctioned Syria could not gain the funds or the supplies, even from the United Nations, after a devastating earthquake for reconstruction or for emergency relief. Earthquake funds could go to Turkey, nothing to Syria. It was the solidarity of Hezbollah, Iran, and Russia that helped save Syria and at great cost regain control of Syria's unheated, destroyed cities that were rubble. A third of Syria was occupied and remains under U.S. and Turkish control through contending mercenary gangs. This area was the oil resource-rich areas, the agricultural breadbaskets. There are U.S. bases in Syria and still in Iraq to this day, along with U.S. trainers and contractors in Jordan, along with U.S. and NATO bases in Turkey. Now, the media around the world is now covering the U.S. role at bases where mercenaries were protected, were organized, were re-equipped with the latest technology. And in those years of no heat, little electricity, old weapons, constant bombardment, demoralization can take hold. The lines can collapse. The Syrian Arab army could not withstand another offensive of well-trained, newly equipped mercenaries when they surged this December. As a political movement in the U.S., we have the obligation to expose the U.S. role, expose the bombing, expose the sanctions, the hunger, and defend the resistance that went on for years. The imperialist onslaught will fail. There will never be a greater Israel. U.S. imperialism and its vicious Zionist proxy Israel is already overextended. How many times can U.S. billions bail out its Zionist proxy force? Israel failed to gain 1 foot of occupation in Lebanon. The IDF failed to defeat to this day the resistance in Gaza, and we see new onslaughts going on right now. Now Netanyahu declares a year-long occupation of Syria and plans for a greater Israel. I fully believe that Israel is a totally unsustainable, totally dependent on constant infusions of weapons and money. The ports are closed, industries are closed, and internal divisions are ripping the state apart. There are hundreds of thousands who are leaving. Its tourists have stopped coming. It's Israel that is a failed state, kept alive only by U.S. subsidy. We should look also and remember that the U.S. occupation of Afghanistan, of Iraq, ended in failure, in ruin, despite committing 3 million U.S. troops and contractors, with projected costs still for injuries reaching past $2 trillion. So imperialism can create horrific ruin, millions of refugees, but international finance capital cannot consolidate their control. U.S. strategy is simply to burn the whole region down. But the rage of the oppressed breaks through. It always breaks through. The ruling class in every age, they have superior weapons, that's always true, but it guarantees nothing. We remain confident that resistance will reemerge, will reassert itself. Resistance is an organic response to repression. Now, Syria is part of decades of resistance, and Syria will rise again.
You are listening to Essential Dissent. That was Sarah Flounders, coordinator of the Sanctions Kill campaign and a contributing editor to the Workers' World newspaper. Next is Joe Lombardo, coordinator of the United National Anti-War Coalition.
I want to welcome you again to this webinar sponsored by UNAC, United National Anti-War Coalition. As soon as we saw the events developing in Syria, we put out a statement on the events and what our thoughts were. And you can find that on the UNAC website. Some people have tried to say that the U.S. was not really involved in this. It's exactly the opposite. This is a U.S. project, what happened, what we are witnessing in Syria right now. And more is coming out about it. One place I just read, which I usually don't encourage people to read, is the capitalist rag called The Telegraph from the UK. It's one of the big major newspapers. But they had an article. Their article was called U.S. Prepared Syrian Rebel Group to Help Topple Bashar al-Assad. And what they did was interview a bunch of the rebels in Syria, and they just were very open about the role, where they got their commands from, where they got their money from, where they got their weapons from. The fall of Syria, of the Syrian government, is a blow. It's a blow to the Syrian people, it's a blow to the Palestinian people, and it's a blow for the movement for peace and justice. As you know, Syria is part of the Axis of Resistance, which was the main forces outside of the Palestinians themselves that were supporting the Palestinians. And that's one of the reasons that the U.S. went after Syria and why Israel went after Syria. The U.S. didn't take credit for it, although this article says they have a lot of credit for what happened in Syria. Netanyahu, we all heard, did take credit for it and has been, along with the United States, continually bombing. Western propaganda tries to portray this as if it was a popular uprising, but it wasn't. It simply wasn't. It was a prolonged military and economic and political attack on the country of Syria. This was carried out in ways that Sarah mentioned, with some of the most egregious sanctions that placed on any country ever. A civil war that's been going on since 2012. U.S. occupation of about a third of the country. And it's the part of the country that is the oil-producing area. And it's the part of the country that has the arable land that can help feed the people of Syria. And it's taken out of the reach of the Syrian government these resources, which were very necessary to keep the government going, and so the government had a very difficult time going. Although these so-called rebels were making good money, they were mercenaries to carry out their work. The Syrian military made about $30 a month when they could get that. And so when they saw what was going on, why should they fight? What could they fight for? How could they keep on going after all of these years? Although it was a setback, what happened in Syria, it has to be seen in the context of what's going on in the world and the desperation of U.S. imperialism, desperation of NATO, desperation of imperialist powers in Europe. They are losing. They are losing their empire. We see in Ukraine, where they thought just through sanctions they were going to bring down Russia, divided into five pieces on their way to destroying China. They were going to overextend Russia, which is probably part of what they were trying to do in Syria. And Russia at this point was not able to give more aid than it had been. But it didn't work out that way. And despite the weapons and the training, bringing the Ukrainian military up from perhaps the smallest military in Europe to by far the largest in Europe to try to bring down Russia, they are losing there. And it has said to countries all around the world and people all around the world that the United States is not invincible. They can be defeated. Also, what we see going on in Palestine has shown to people that the United States and Zionists are not what they say they are, that they are horrific, and that what they are doing is a genocide. And it is evil. And this is awakening the consciousness of millions of people around the world. It's brought us out in the streets in our millions, in numbers that we haven't seen in decades. That's a reflection of an increasing consciousness. Without that consciousness, we will never change the world. And we are on a march to change the world. We see Western imperialism collapsing. We see political crisis in the United States. We see political crisis in all of the European countries. We see it in NATO. Their world is collapsing. And new structures, new economic structures coming to replace the IMF and the World Bank and the invincible, so-called invincible armies of the imperialist powers. They are going by the wayside. They are falling, and they are desperate in their falling. And that's why they are doing what they're doing, bringing the world to the brink of nuclear war, bringing down the Assad government and so forth. But they are losing. And as they lose, the people of the world are winning. So I urge you to redouble your efforts. Join us. Let's come together and let's build a movement for the sake of the Palestinians and for the sake of all of us. Thank you.
You are listening to Essential Dissent. This episode is Syria, another U.S. regime change operation. That was Joe Lombardo, coordinator of the United National Anti-War Coalition. Next is Jacqueline Lukman.
My name is Jacqueline Lukman. I am the vice chair of the Black Alliance for Peace's Coordinating Committee. I'm also the co-coordinator of the Mid-Atlantic region and the DC Citywide Alliance of the Black Alliance for Peace. And we have been engaged in this struggle against the expansion of imperialism in the Asian and the Pacific areas, what we like to call, or what we're indoctrinated to call in this country, the Middle East. But we in BAP understand that this action in Syria was certainly about getting rid of Assad. And it was certainly about what others have mentioned before me, really weakening the axis of resistance and giving more strength and power and support to the Zionist entity and to help them expand this idea of a greater Israel, this myth that they have in their belief that the land in that region is theirs. And of course, this is disastrous for the Palestinian people. But this attack on Syria is also something that we understand is a part of a larger threat to all anti-imperialist countries in that region. And the history and the propaganda, or I should say the history of propaganda about Syria that has come from Western forces, really did create the consent that we have seen, not just in the general U.S. population, but shockingly among so many on the left. And I'll tell you why. This propaganda campaign, this plan to destroy Syria, has been going on since really 2011, where the U.S., Israel, Turkey, and other NATO members, and the Gulf monarch states like Saudi Arabia, have been planning this, not necessarily a military defeat in Syria, because that's not what this was. This was a political defeat. And the propaganda that went into this strategy is very important because Russia, which Syria's most powerful ally, is engaged in Ukraine. That is not a coincidence. It is by design. Of course, the U.S. forces know that Russia and Syria are allies. So certainly it was beneficial to the empire to get Russia mired in its own proxy war against Ukraine, as Ukraine is being used by the U.S., the EU, and NATO to weaken Russia. But that engagement that was created to weaken Russia also gives the added benefit of having Russia busy with something else while the same empire attacks Syria. So at the same time, Turkey, Syria's enemy, has been playing this two-sided game, working with NATO allies while they were claiming to be negotiating in good faith with Russia, what they really were not doing. And now, of course, that Syria is no longer led by Assad, who was supportive of the Palestinian struggle, to the point that Syria was the primary force in the axis of resistance. Now that axis of resistance is deeply weakened, represented only by Iran, and they have been dealt a huge blow. This does not mean that it doesn't exist. It doesn't mean the axis of resistance cannot still win. I, like Sarah and Joe, have said before me, I believe they can. I do think we need to be honest about what has happened here and the impact it will have on this continued fight. It is a large blow. It's not devastating to the point of losing the entire struggle, but I do think we have to be honest in what the empire did here with taking Syria out. So I really want to immediately turn your attention to the Black Alliance for Peace website, blackallianceforpeace.com, and please read our latest statement on Syria and to Black Agenda Report and read all of the articles that we have published on this coup in the past 2-3 weeks. But today, let's talk about this propaganda, because Syria was the victim of a U.S. regime change plot that I said began in 2011, carried out by successive administrations with the help and collusion of Western media. After the Obama administration succeeded in destroying Libya, killing its president with the help of jihadist proxies there, Obama turned his administration's attention to Syria, because he wanted to do the same thing there. And that's when the corporate media began with these endless stories about Bashar al-Assad poisoning his own people. And that's just really weird coming from this country that has a very long history of supporting murderers, dictators, tyrants, just full out fascists all the time, turning around and calling Assad a murderer, a dictator, and a butcher with no evidence, none whatsoever. They just kept saying it. And then in 2013, the accusations of Assad gassing his own people were so incessant that even Russia tried to assist. Well, they didn't try to. They did assist the Syrian government in destroying their chemical weapon stockpiles to stop these lies. They were not true. Assad was not, he was not poisoning his own people. He was not using chemical weapons on the Syrian people, but that did not stop the US and the Western media from continuing to perpetuate that lie. And it just continued to the point that in 2018, the US, France, and the UK said out of nowhere that they would take military action against Syria if there were any chemical weapons attacks. Now, there never were chemical weapons attacks, but the empire decided they needed to drum up this lie again because the plan to destroy Syria never ended, no matter who was in office. So, like clockwork, on April 7th, after this weird declaration came out of nowhere in 2018, what happened? On April 7th, the US and its allies bombed Syria. One inspector from the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, the OPCW, actually openly cast doubt on the official narrative about that event in 2018. A leaked document stated, quote, "There is a higher probability that both cylinders of chemical gas were manually placed at both locations rather than being delivered by aircraft," which was the lie that came from the propaganda. The whistleblower disappeared from corporate media accounts, while the likelier explanation that civilians were kidnapped and killed by U.S. jihadist proxies, who remembers anybody else saying anything about that, except for us crazy anti-imperialists who knew the truth and were trying desperately hard to get people to understand that what was going on in 2011, what was going on in 2018 in Syria, was a U.S. operation that never ended. And in this, we can't leave out Donald Trump from the imperialist domination, because this is what happened under his administration. He might have been labeled a fascist, He also bombed Syria with the help of France and Britain. We remember this, certainly, where Trump talks about all of the wonderful countries in the free world who had a right to attack Syria because, you know, Assad gassing his own people, evil dictator, all of this kind of stuff. And the fact that Donald Trump was saying those things were particularly laughable, but he did. And that's very interesting also because all of the countries involved in helping Donald Trump to bomb Syria, well, they all got rich off of genocide of indigenous people and the enslavement of African descended and other marginalized people and the continued economic oppression of those same people, the descendants of those people in their countries and in the countries that were their former colonies. These countries involved in the imperialist project to destroy Syria were not decent nations. They're not caring about democracy or freedom. What they want is control over the Western Asia region. The West and their agents in this region have schemed to take over Syria for years. And this war propaganda has been a main weapon. They will continue to do this as they work to consolidate their bloody work. And here in the US, so many progressives and so-called leftists have supported the empire's lies about Assad. Why? People are still very enamored with the idea of Putin being uniquely evil. So anyone who is involved with him is suspect for these folks. But see, we in the Black Alliance for Peace do not individualize conflicts. We don't individualize politics, not even foreign policy, especially not foreign policy. If leftists in the US believe Assad is evil and he needed to be removed, I really do wonder what they believe about all the US leaders of both political policies who have lied throughout all of these years and done much worse than lie to make this happen. How do the same people who seem to know that the US lies about everything, especially foreign policy, but the same people suddenly believe that the US has developed a case of honesty and morality, things no one in this imperialist system has or has exhibited before about Syria? This makes no sense, friends. And it's especially insulting that leftists in the US, while celebrating the removal of Assad because they believe this war propaganda, have either forgotten or have chosen not to be concerned about Syria's role in the axis of resistance against Israel and US warmongering in Palestine. And further, with Syria's military destroyed by the IOF, there is no Syria in the axis of resistance any longer. Israel has staked its claim to a part of Syria, as has Turkey and the US. And you know the US is there for the oil. So the Syrian people lose, and the Palestinian people lose, and the Lebanese people in the crosshairs of US imperialist and Zionist aggression, they also lose. They will continue to lose their lives and their land while US leftists cheer with the empire that the people fighting for liberation in that region have significantly less support from a country that was a major supporter of them now. And I think as I wrap up, we need to ask ourselves, who are the people that US leftists are celebrating who were the willing foot soldiers for imperialist violation of sovereignty that was just carried out in Syria? Well, Al-Jalani, let me give you his full name. I want to be proper. Abu Muhammad Al-Jalani was once wanted by the US. In 2017, the State Department announced a reward of up to $10 million for his capture. Donald Trump said that we remain committed to bringing leading AQS figures in HTS to justice. HTS is the Hayat Tahrir al-Sham organization, and they are an offshoot of Al-Qaeda. Barack Obama, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, former President President-elect Donald Trump, John Kerry, Joseph Biden, Kamala Harris, everybody in the US government and in the British governments and in the German government, they all know that the people who have done this for them in Syria, they all know they have been a part of ISIS and Al-Qaeda. And these are people that the U.S. government has been working with since the Carter administration, first under Carter to fight the Soviet Union. And now the United States government is continuing its relationship with the very same, what do they call them, fundamentalist Islamic jihadists, which is insulting, but that's what the U.S. calls them. So the U.S. government has initiated the war on terror to, quote unquote, destroy the alleged fundamentalist Islamic jihadists who they said were responsible for 9/11. But then they keep using these same people to overthrow democratically elected leaders in countries that will not let them come in and just take control over everything. So this is a situation in which we need to be clear, not just who our enemies are, the imperialists, obviously here in the beating heart of imperialism, NATO, the EU, but also those collaborators within our own organizing spaces. We need to understand that the forceful overthrow of the government in Syria does represent a colossal defeat to the pan-Arabists in the region and those who center the Palestinian national liberation cause. This is an exaggeration. The demise of Syria, and it is a demise of Syria as we and the Syrian people know it for now, this will have direct consequences on the axis of resistance because the land bridge, Iraq, Iran, Syria, Lebanon, it's been undermined. And the interconnected struggle of all of those countries against imperialist Zionism has been dealt a blow because these countries have held the expanding imperialist and Zionist hegemony at bay in this region by training, housing, funding, and arming the Palestinian resistance. And for that reason, color revolutions have been instigated to allow for the Zionist entity to enjoy its expansion project without any resistance, with the help of Zionist Arabs, yes, they exist just like Zionist Christians do, and the NATO proxies in the region. So yes, this loss in Syria, it is a defeat for the Axis because Lebanon's land bridge has been cut off by the Zionist moderate rebels who took power in Syria, and they promised to stifle the presence of Shia in the country, namely Iran, Iraq, and Lebanon, the very powers that are sacrificing their lives and their livelihoods for Palestine's liberation and the resistance in Gaza. There will be loss of individual freedoms in Syria. We're already seeing it. Forced assimilation to an Islamicist fundamentalist status quo. Yes. Discrimination based on sects and silencing sects, S-E-C-T-S, apologies for not pronouncing that as well as I should have, silencing of ideologically anti-imperialist knowledge production. Yes, that's absolutely going to happen. The education, even in Syrian public schools, where their inclusive, progressive society is a part of the curriculum for children, teaching children about what peaceful coexistence with all of our brothers and sisters is, oh, that's gone. That's gone in Syria now too. And Syrian society will be undermined by anti-Kurd, anti-Shia, anti-religious pluralism. These are the lessons we anti-imperialists in the beating heart of imperialism need to be very clear on and learn from not just the destruction of Libya, and how Islamist takeover reduced that country to being run by reactionary and conservative forces that seek to normalize relationships with Zionism. While the sanctions against the countries that continue to fight become even worse because they're next. What does this mean? Again, we need to be clear, we anti-imperialists in the beating heart of imperialism, whose job it is to destroy this system, to save our brothers and sisters' lives around the world, we need to be clear who our enemies are, who the enemies of the people are, the imperialists in every form, in every country. Those are our enemies. And who we are fighting with, the people who are fighting to be free from Western imperialism and Zionism. We will remain on the right side of the fight. Call me an Assadist all day long. Call me a Putin apologist all day long. Call me an agent of Xi Jinping, yes, but I'm gonna stay on the right side of the fight against imperialism because I will remain on the side of the people and the people's fight for liberation. We will continue to fight until all of the people are free and imperialism is dead. And that is why we say in the Black Alliance for Peace, no compromise, no retreat, until we are all free.
You're listening to Essential Dissent. This episode is Syria, another U.S. regime change operation. That was Jacqueline Lukman, Vice Chair of the Coordinating Committee of the Black Alliance for Peace. Next is Saher Al-Kamash of the Bronx Anti-War Coalition, reading a statement by Bahman Azad, President of the U.S. Peace Council and Coordinator of the U.S. Hands-Off Syria Coalition.
Dear comrades and friends, please forgive me for not personally being present at this critical and timely webinar organized by UNAC. After more than a decade of military occupation, imposition of civil war, and deadly economic sanctions by the U.S. imperialism and its regional allies, the legitimate government of Syria was finally brought to its knees, and a rebranded group of terrorists occupied Damascus and implemented imperialism's long-term plan for regime change in Syria, an act which could not have been possible without direct military assistance of the U.S. and Israel and support from Turkey and the reactionary regimes of the region. The rapid collapse of the Syrian government has led many who do not have a proper understanding of imperialism's objectives and the historical global trends, and who base their assessments and analysis only on momentary and transient events, to blame Bashar al-Assad and the Syrian government for the present defeat. Some, in line with the imperialist network, CNN, even go so far as referring to the difficult situation of the Syrian people, including the economic crisis and high poverty rates in recent years, as a people's revolution against an incompetent dictatorship. But the reality is that this was neither a people's revolution nor the result of the dictatorship or quote-unquote incompetency of Bashar al-Assad's government. First, no popular revolution is launched militarily and with the help of imperialism from outside the borders of a country. Calling this event a revolution can only mean endorsing imperialism's policy of regime change in Syria, and considering the terrorists trained and armed by the US and Israel as the people. This is nothing less than distorting the objective facts, calling an imperialist counter-revolution a popular revolution, and thereby throwing dust in the eyes of the people in accordance with the imperialist propaganda. The same plot was carried out once before in 2011, and the Syrian people, despite all the difficulties caused by the imposed situation, stood by their government and army for 14 years. Their stunned silence today cannot and should not be considered an endorsement of this counter-revolution. Second, the plight of the people and widespread poverty in Syria can be attributed to the incompetency of the Syrian government only if we ignore the decades of imposed war, the deadly imperialist economic sanctions, and the blatant theft of Syria's oil resources by the occupying U.S. forces. Since 1979, the Syrian government has been on the U.S. list of state-sponsored terrorism and has been subjected to severe sanctions due to its firm and consistent support of the Iranian Revolution and Hezbollah. Sanctions that have become increasingly severe every day due to the Syrian government's increasing resistance, and finally reached their maximum intensity in the form of the Caesar Act, which led to the collapse of the Syrian economy since 2019. Our world has witnessed the same criminal acts against Yugoslavia, Afghanistan, Libya, Iraq, etc. Those who ignore these undeniable facts and direct their attacks at the victims of imperialism and Zionism, willingly or unwillingly, become the propaganda mouthpieces of the enemy of the people. The temporary nature of this military setback becomes clearer when recent regional developments are viewed within the context of the broader struggle towards a multipolar world. For nearly two decades, a global movement for dismantling imperialism's unilateral dominance has been forming and gaining momentum as peoples around the world, one after the other, rise against this hegemony. The unipolar order that emerged after the dissolution of the Soviet Union and the socialist bloc is in decline, with an increasing number of nations joining this global struggle every day. This process, which began in the early 21st century with the rapid economic rise of China and Russia's reassertion of its independent role in international affairs, entered a new qualitative phase with the entry of Russian forces into Ukraine. For the first time, resistance to imperialist hegemony shifted from a defensive posture to an active engagement. Russia's successive victories in Ukraine, coupled with the heroic uprising of the Palestinian people on October 7th, demonstrated to imperialist powers, particularly the US, that their hegemonic order is nearing its end. They realized that they needed to use any means at their disposal to halt this process before it reaches the point of no return. In this context, dismantling the axis of resistance in the critical region of the Middle East, the loss of which could make the transition to a multipolar world irreversible, becomes the top priority for imperialist powers. This urgency was exacerbated by Iran's abandonment of its hesitant policy towards the West and its pivotal move towards Russia and China under the administration of the martyred President Raisi, and Iran's adoption of a more active role in support of the Palestinian Liberation Movement, Hezbollah in Lebanon, and the Houthis in Yemen. These developments, and not the so-called Assad government's failures, were the main cause of the forced regime change in Syria. Comrades and friends, imperialist hegemony is declining, and a new order is emerging. The global battle we face today may occasionally result in temporary retreats and even defeats on certain fronts, but the advancement of this global movement cannot be stopped. Let us not forget that after years of the US and NATO military occupations of Afghanistan and Iraq, neither country remains under the US or Western control. Syria's fate will certainly not be different in this regard. The global resistance against imperialism will continue until its final victory. Thank you.
You are listening to Essential Dissent. This episode is Syria, Another U.S. Regime Change Operation. That was Saher Al-Kamash of the Bronx Anti-War Coalition reading a statement by Bahman Azad, president of the U.S. Peace Council and coordinator of the U.S. Hands-Off Syria Coalition. Next is Cody Urban, national coordinator of the International League of People's Struggles.
I think if there's one message, even just one sentence, that we need to walk away with from this webinar and from this moment, it is that Syria is being carved up so foreign powers can plunder it. That's what this comes down to. It's what all of the other speakers before me said, but I think we can't stop emphasizing parts of it to understand it. The United States has been after Syria's oil and other resources ever since, even before there was a country of Syria. And with a new Western-backed government, you better believe that they are going to be after all of those resources. And they're probably now going to play the hero and say that they're going to give economic relief to Syria. But all that means is that finally, they'll take off at least some of the sanctions that they've held over the necks of the Syrian people and their economy for so many years if the government opens their industries up to foreign investment. The Zionists want to turn Syria into their free-for-all military frontier region as they increase more and more settlements as part of their like expansionist messianic Greater Israel project. And actually, if you look at all of the airstrikes that the Israelis have done, and this is the most geographically speaking, it is the most intensive and expansive air campaign that the Zionists have ever done in the history of the Zionist entity. They've cleared off all the land that leads between Palestine and Iran, which leads it completely open as a giant undefended flying field if they want to launch an air invasion of Iran. And let's not forget Turkey. Turkey has played such an opportunistic role in this as it seeks to jump into the feeding frenzy of power grabbing as the West Asia is lit on fire by the US and the Zionists. Erdogan is trying to flex his muscles and use a neo-Ottoman Empire image as part of his fascism at home, and has even said that parts of Syria are already part of Turkey. He says Aleppo is an inherent part of Turkey. So again, Syria is being carved up so that foreign powers can plunder it. How do we move forward as an anti-war movement, anti-imperialist movement based in the US? I know that there's many well-meaning anti-war activists out there that hesitate to take a position on this because they hesitate to take a position on the actions and motivations of the Assad government because that there are many different opinions of the Assad government with between the Syrian people. And let's be honest, living behind the Western corporate media propaganda, how can we even tell what's true these days? So we have to hold true to unequivocal principles that we can hold to no matter what the situation is. I know that a principle that ILPS holds, that UNAC holds, that many of the organizations here hold, is self-determination of all peoples, sovereignty of all nations, independence against all foreign intervention. If the Syrian people want to take a direction for their country and their government, we have no right, 100% no right in interfering in that. And that is what the US has done since at least a decade ago. We have to be clear in this principle. The US is not good for the Syrian people. The US is not good for the Kurdish people. The US opportunistically speaks that it's the savior of the Kurdish people, but that's just to draw in more Kurdish people into its US proxy interventionist force of the Syrian Democratic Forces. But while it's doing that, it's funding the military of Turkey, and it's funding its other proxies that just took over the government that both want to see the Kurds annihilated. The US is no friend of the Kurdish people. The US is no friend of the Syrian people as a whole. We need to build a movement that unequivocally holds to this principle, that anyone has a right to determine their destiny against all forms of foreign intervention. And it has to be a mass movement that brings in so many of us. A shining example of that right here in the US was at the beginning, it was the first half of this year, when ILPS and UNAC and so many other organizations joined in the Resist NATO coalition. And we marched hundreds of people in Washington, DC, when the NATO alliance came for their 75th anniversary, the world's most provocative and dangerous military alliance, whose nations helped orchestrate what is happening in Syria right now. We held a counter summit of almost 300 people that tied together the issues of just peace and self-determination against imperialism. And again, over 400 people that took to the streets to demand this, even in front of the White House. And you better believe that we're not stopping there, because NATO is going to keep on orchestrating these coups and these interventions on its warpath around the world. NATO is meeting in The Hague in the Netherlands next year. And already there are forces who are building up to take action against this. Because in The Hague, you better believe that, yes, they're going to be talking about how to escalate their war in Ukraine and how to cripple Russia, but they're also going to be talking about Syria. They're going to be talking about other forms of intervention and plundering around the world. And we have to show up and we have to tell them that the people will not stand for this anymore. We have to build this movement. We have to make it nationwide. We have to make it global. We have to make it undefeatable. The axis of resistance will never be defeated. The people of Palestine and Syria and all around the world will win, because the people united will never be defeated.
You're listening to Essential Dissent. This episode is Syria, another U.S. regime change operation. That was Cody Urban, National Coordinator of the International League of People's Struggles. Next is Richie Marino of the Bronx Anti-War Coalition.
The fall of Syria as a sovereign state and the chaos engulfing the country are the direct results of an imperialist assault orchestrated by the United States, supported by its European allies, and carried out through regional proxies, namely Israel, Turkey, and the Gulf monarchies. This assault was not about democracy or freedom, but about dismantling a key pillar of the Axis of Resistance, a coalition of states and resistance movements that oppose U.S.-led imperialism and Zionist domination in West Asia. The devastation in Syria is no accident. Entire cities have been reduced to rubble, critical infrastructure obliterated, and millions displaced in one of the largest refugee crises in modern history. The U.S.-led sanctions regime, unilaterally imposed by the U.S. and supported by the entire West, has intensified this destruction. These sanctions are not merely punitive, but a deliberate form of economic warfare designed to suffocate Syria into submission. By crippling Syria's economy, preventing reconstruction, and plunging millions into poverty and food insecurity, the U.S. ensures Syria remains fractured and dependent. The United States also violates Syria's sovereignty directly through its illegal occupation of nearly one-third of the country, a region rich in oil and wheat. Acting through its proxies, the U.S. systematically loots Syria's natural resources. Oil that could provide heating, electricity, and fuel for rebuilding the country is stolen and sold on the black market. Wheat, critical for feeding Syria's population, is seized, exacerbating food shortages and pushing millions closer to starvation. This theft, fully coordinated by the U.S., ensures that the effects of its imperialist policies are felt in every Syrian household. The coordinated violations of Syrian sovereignty extend beyond U.S. occupation. Turkey, a NATO member, continues its illegal occupation of northern Syria, while Israel, acting as an extension of U.S. imperialism in West Asia, has expanded its land grabs beyond the Golan Heights to seize Mount Hermon, a critical strategic point. Israeli airstrikes on Syrian territory, targeting infrastructure, military sites, and civilians, occur regularly with U.S. support. These actions are not isolated. They are part of a broader U.S. strategy to weaken Syria, fracture its sovereignty, and prevent its recovery. Extremist groups like Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, or HTS, created, armed, and supported by the U.S. and its allies, control large swaths of the country, perpetuating instability and serving imperialist interests. These groups are not freedom fighters or revolutionaries, but terrorist organizations acting as tools of Western imperialism. The destruction of Syria has always been a deliberate strategy of the U.S. and its allies. Syria's alliances with Iran, Hezbollah, Ansar Allah in Yemen, the Islamic resistance in Iraq, and Palestinian resistance factions like Hamas, the PFLP, and Palestinian Islamic Jihad made it a primary target of U.S. aggression. Syria provided critical support to Hezbollah in Lebanon, which successfully defended Lebanon from Israeli invasions and offered refuge and material aid to Palestinian resistance movements fighting Zionist occupation. By dismantling Syria, the U.S. and Israel sought to sever Hezbollah's supply lines, weaken Palestinian resistance, and fracture the axis of resistance. The imperialist agenda became even clearer when the illegitimate HTS coup government in Damascus banned Palestinian factions from maintaining weapons, training camps, or military headquarters in Syria. This was a direct attack on Palestinian resistance and a betrayal of Syria's historic commitment to the liberation of Palestine. For decades, the US and its allies have used a strategy of divide and conquer to destroy strong, independent states and reduce them to fragmented entities incapable of resisting imperial control. In Iraq, the US invasion shattered the country, yet the Islamic resistance emerged as a powerful force against imperialist domination. In Libya, NATO's intervention turned the nation into a failed state. In Syria, the US armed and funded extremist groups like HTS to destabilize and weaken the state. The CIA's Timber Sycamore program funneled billions of dollars to extremist groups, while Turkey became a hub for foreign fighters and arms shipments. Western media whitewashed these groups' atrocities, portraying them as champions of a democratic uprising. In reality, this was never a revolution, but a foreign-backed proxy war aimed at regime change and the destruction of Syrian sovereignty. Despite the fall of Syria as a sovereign state, the axis of resistance remains unbroken. This coalition, comprising Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas, the Islamic Resistance in Iraq, Ansar Allah in Yemen, and other Palestinian resistance factions, has shown remarkable resilience in the face of US-led imperialist aggression. The axis of resistance continues to challenge US and Zionist domination in the region, ensuring that imperialist plans to dominate West Asia remain incomplete. Syria's historic role in supporting Palestinian resistance will remain a vital part of the broader struggle against Zionist occupation and imperialism. Syria provided Palestinian movements with the space, resources, and alliances needed to resist Zionist aggression and imperial domination. The US and Israel's attempt to dismantle Syria was always aimed at weakening Palestinian resistance and shattering the broader axis of resistance. Yet they have failed to achieve these goals. For anti-imperialists in the West, our role is clear. We must expose the lies about Syria and the US's role in its destruction. The false narrative of a Syrian revolution is a fraud designed to justify imperialist aggression. We must challenge this propaganda and make it clear that the war on Syria was a premeditated campaign of US-led imperialist domination. We must build solidarity with the axis of resistance, which defends sovereignty and justice in the face of US and Zionist aggression. Finally, we must organize against our own governments, which are responsible for the death and destruction in Syria and across the world. The fall of Syria as a sovereign state and the chaos that followed are the direct result of one imperialist system, that of the US, the EU, and the West, along with their regional proxies. The axis of resistance has shown that imperialism can be resisted. It is our duty to stand with them in this fight. Western imperialism thrives on lies and complicity, but it can be defeated. Together, we can expose the crimes of the empire, build global solidarity, and fight for a world rooted in justice and sovereignty. Thank you.
You've been listening to Essential Dissent, and we just heard from Richie Marino of the Bronx Anti-War Coalition. This episode was Syria, Another U.S. Regime Change Operation, a webinar organized by UNAC, the United National Anti-War Coalition. The webinar took place on December 28, 2024. Thanks for listening, and remember, never believe anything until you hear the official denial.